This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS action line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. Mitchell Mota is with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. If you have any questions dealing with lawns and gardens or anything like that, bugs, critters, give us a call. He's the king of critters. 893-1450 is our phone number. Mitchell, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Did you bring any critters with you today?
Not intentionally. Okay. I don't know of any. There may be some hangers on here that That's I haven't right. seen yet, but I'm not aware of any.
Well, what has been the big question at the Ag Center this week?
When is it going to cool off? I guess.
And what is the answer?
I'll tell you, probably this fall.
How's okay. That? You always do the frost date. Do you do the comfort date?
No. Well, it feels better this morning.
It does. That storm last night helped out.
Oh, yeah, really a lot of lightning.
Yeah, somebody told, and I mentioned this to my wife, and she said, well, I've never heard that. I said, when I was growing up, somebody said that all that lightning in the air cools things off. And she said, well, I can see the rain would do that, but what would the lightning do? I said, I don't know. I just heard that. Did you ever hear that?
I have not. I mean,
okay.
It would certainly
generate
a fair amount of heat. I don't know. But it is cooler this morning, so yeah, there's evidence right
that's,
there.
It worked.
Apparently.
Although we did have evidently a lot of rain.
Well, I think it was varied, depending on your location. Maybe you had roughly a quarter of an inch there at my house, but I understand that other places had a significant amount of rain.
Yeah, over in Walter Hill.
Yeah, it was good. You know, we certainly needed some.
Every bit helps.
Sure does. Yeah, we're not going to turn it down.
No. 893-1450 is our number if you have a lawn or a garden question, or perhaps the storms from last night brought something out and you want to ask about that. You know, we've had people in the past when we've had heavy storms with a lot of rain. They've said that they've had just hundreds of little frogs mm-hmm. and stuff like that suddenly appear. Where do they come from?
They come from big frogs.
Oh, okay.
That's where they come from.
They don't fall out of the
sky.
No,
I don't think so. Okay. Well, actually, I'm just, you know, thinking back to some trivia that I read years ago, that I believe there have been a few verified instances where it literally did rain frogs, or it literally did rain small fish, where through some phenomena they were picked up, either via like a tornadic activity, mm-hmm. something like that, and then deposited elsewhere. It literally fell from the sky.
Wouldn't that be weird to be running into the house from your garage with an umbrella and have fish and frogs hitting you?
I think that it would be scary.
It would be.
Yeah.
So when somebody says, I've heard people talking about rocks falling and hitting you, but I haven't heard too much about frogs and fish.
No.
But any of those things would be weird.
They would. Yeah.
Any of
you wonder who's throwing a rock, though, for rocks.
That's right.
But if frogs fall from the sky, my first thought is not who threw that frog.
Although I can remember one time, and Scott's going to shoot me for this. He was about, 5 years old. We'd been fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And we got home and caught two or three little fish.
Yeah.
And he didn't know what to do with them. So he gets them out and starts throwing them as high as he can in the air. And he thought that was the funniest thing in the world. Flying fish.
Well, I guess
I don't know if he still does that. I haven't gone fishing with him lately.
It might be good to walk through the grocery store when he's in the seafood section to see what he does.
See the fish flying.
Yeah, there you go.
893-1450 is our number. Mitchell Motes with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And we are still in the time of the year where gardens are producing well.
Yes, they are. And actually, in all seriousness, we've had a lot of questions. We're getting questions weekly on a variety of things. And one of those that does relate to garden vegetables is on tomatoes. The early blight that affects those, a fungal disease where it affects the foliage and it starts down on the bottom of the plant, or the foliage closest to the ground, and you'll have spots develop there, and the leaves will turn yellow, and then they'll just die and you know, totally brown out, and it moves up the plant, and you know, if left unchecked, it'll defoliate the plant, and it's certainly going to cut down on the productive season of those. You know, once it's there, you're not going to cure the plant of that. What you can do is try to protect uninfected foliage by using a fungicide, something that contains ingredients such as mancozeb or chlorothalonil, things like that can be very effective. But you do have to make frequent applications, as stated on the label, in order to provide that protection throughout the remainder of the season. But, gosh, yeah, folks that have kept things watered pretty good, tomatoes and other vegetables are doing very well. This time of the year, especially if folks get a little bit lax maybe in their efforts on squash and cucumbers and so on, you start to see populations of squash bugs, cucumber bugs, things like that build up, cucumber beetles. So you want to scout those and take action by applying insecticide or other measures if you're starting to see some of those, because they can they will diminish the productive season of those vegetables. And sweet corn is still out there. Folks have late planted sweet corn. It's starting to come in now. There's still a lot going on in terms of growing in the garden. But
and
it needs
that,
water.
Plenty of that over at the Ag Center.
At the farmers market. Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah, they've got a good variety, a good selection of products. I tell you something that we've also seen, Bart, coming through. We're seeing a lot of just heat and drought stress on cool season turf grass on those non irrigated sites. Basically cool season turf, tall fescue would be the primary one, but bluegrasses fall into that, and maybe even the blends where you have some tall fescue, maybe some bluegrass in there, and maybe a little bit of perennial ryegrass. Those cool season grasses are named that because that's when they do their best growth in the cooler seasons of the year. And so when you have 100 degree weather, even 95 degree weather, on grass that does its most vigorous growth above ground, say at 70, 75 degrees, it's really going to take a beating. So you're seeing a lot of stress on that. And some patch disease, large patch disease of the cool season turfs, things like brown patch and so on, that are brought on by fungi. And even on warm season grasses such as Bermuda grass, the weather pattern that we have had will certainly let you know where the rocks are in your lawn or in your field, your pasture, because that ground or places where you are over rock, where the soil is over rock and where the soil is shallow. You'll certainly see it there because it'll dry out faster, and you'll start to see stress on those grasses. So even Bermuda grass, it loves heat, but it's also got to have some water to survive. And in places where the ground is shallow, where you do go just a relatively short distance until you hit rock or some other hard pan that is going to minimize the water holding capacity and shallow rooting, that will encourage shallow rooting, then you're going to see the stresses on those.
Now, is there something we should be planting right now? Are we getting close enough to the cool season gardens, or are we still?
Now, yeah, there are folks that that are going to try to do some fall gardening or have fall vegetables, that we're moving into that window of time when you start thinking about putting some of those things out, lettuce and greens and whatnot, things like that. You do have to pay attention, and it's probably harder to grow a fall garden because you start them when it's hot than it is a spring garden. But for instance, lettuce growers, if you can provide some sort of shade, for example, will help with that, help them survive these hotter temperatures and so on. But you can do it. You need to select varieties that are that are more tolerant of heat than others are. So you want to research that. And as you look at seed catalogs or as you look at seeds on shelves at vendors, locates retail outlets, you look for things like heat and drought resistance or tolerance, I guess, as you're making those selections, because it influences that. But any steps you can take to minimize that kind of stress, for instance, using shade. Well, mm-hmm. You can make shade, you can make shade cloth, pieces of lattice work tacked up between the posts. Well, that provides filtered light,
sure.
So that provides some shade. So, things you can do. And maybe for those cooler season crops that we would think about growing in the fall, even places that that receive afternoon shade, might be better places or locations to put some of those. You get your sun in the morning, but then in the hottest part of the day, you do have some shade on it, so that might be a benefit.
Let's go to the phones. Our phone number is 893-1450. We're talking lawns and gardens with Mitchell Moat from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service, and good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Hi.
My grandson wanted to talk to him about how to build a compost pile. I'll see if you can understand him. He's four.
Okay.
Okay. That's.
Say hello.
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 How are you today?
Answer him. I want to build a compost.
You want to build a compost pile? Well, that'd be a good thing to do. And it's pretty easy to do. And you can build a compost pile out of a lot of different things. So if you have, you probably get maybe your grandmother or mom or dad or granddad, somebody to help you. And you could build it from, just most any material. You could use concrete blocks. You could use landscape timbers. You could use old pallets that things are stored on. But the key thing, I guess, is to build. You can even build it out of wire, fence wire, wire mesh. Has fairly like field fence and so on, woven wire. The thing is, you want to build it large enough, okay? But also
that
not
is
too large.
Compost.
Well, I'm sorry. Say that again.
Ask me about the worms.
There are worms in the compost.
Yeah, worms like compost because there's a lot of organic matter in there, and worms really like organic matter, and they help to break down and make compost. So you can certainly have worms in there, and they're good they're good to have in compost.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. But hey, when you're building it, make it, if you're going to build a square one, make it 3 feet square, 3 feet tall, 3 feet wide, 3 feet long, and about the right size.
And the worms will be fun to watch.
Oh, they will, yeah. And worms, you can go buy some worms, some wigglers at the bait store to get a start in there.
I hadn't even thought about that.
But gosh, if there are worms in the ground, mm-hmm. They will gravitate to the compost pile. It's amazing. You start a pile, you can always find worms once that thing is going. If you've got a pile on the ground, they will find it and they'll come to it, and you can turn that over to stir the pile up, and you'll always or generally always find worms there. Especially if you keep it moist enough, and if you don't keep it moist enough, it won't work anyway. So you've got to do that.
Want to say good luck to that youngster.
Oh yeah, good luck with it, boy. 4 years old and already doing good things.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm. Let us know how that goes. Let's take another phone call here. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
Doing pretty good.
Good.
I'm a homeowner, and I was calling in about having problems with ants, spiders, centipedes, and stuff like that. And I was just curious if there's a good pesticide out there that a homeowner can use. I've looked it up, and DEMOS, WP, is supposed to be a good stuff. And I was just curious if you know and if this is a good stuff. And I'm going to hang up and see what you have to say.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, you said Demas, I think, and that's apparently a brand.
Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar
with that particular brand. But there are, there are a limited number of ingredients or active ingredients that are used. I mean, there's a lot of them, but there's only so many out there that are used in those home insecticides that are designed for homeowners to use. And you know, he described a lot of stuff right there, you know, centipedes and spiders and ants, etc. Those are those critters, you know, are coming in from the outside somewhere. So that would maybe be one of the first things you'd want to do is try to determine what's drawing them in, okay, and take steps to maybe correct that. You know, if it's ants, if they're coming there for food, maybe for sugar or something like that, you know, take special care that we don't leave crumbs out, et cetera. And, you know, doggone it, you stand there and you make yourself a tomato sandwich and you stand at the counter and eat that, well, you drop crumbs. Well, you may not notice very many crumbs there, but boy, an ant can sure find those and be attracted to it. So you just want to be very diligent about that, you know, and take steps. You know, hygiene, just keep things as clean as possible, just to cut down on the attraction. You know, if there's no food there, then maybe they'll figure it out and go somewhere else. Centipedes, though, a lot of times it's just shelter issue with them. You'll find those a lot in organic material, like in mulch and so on outside homes. Maybe doing some things to maybe keep a barrier between the house itself and the natural mulch material, the bark or the wood mulch and so on, but maybe minimize the movement of centipedes and whatnot in there. But with that being said, There are a number of insecticides that work. Now, as I said, I'm not familiar with that particular brand, that Demas brand. But what you're looking for are ingredients, okay? Again, there are only so many out there. A lot of those have a lot of similarities. They fall in the same class of insecticide, and they are very effective against a broad spectrum. I'm going to name just a few of these. And there's a class of insecticide known as a pyrethroid, a synthetic pyrethroid.
And those, that'll be on the container itself.
It'll have the common name of the active ingredient. And those are things such as bifenthrin. Okay, bifenthrin is a commonly used pyrethroid insecticide ingredient. Does a good job against a lot of insects. I mean, it'll kill spiders, it'll kill ants, you know, things like that. Cyfluthrin is another one.
Mm-hmm.
Those that end in R-I-N tend to be, you know, related to one another. Permethrin is another example of that. Then you can also run into some things. There's one called beta-cyfluthrin that is good against a broad spectrum of those invading critters. And also there's cypermethrin is another one that you'll see. And I'm just wondering if maybe, you know, if it Demas, or now there's one called Demon that I've...
Demon?
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's one called Demon that's out there, and it's either beta-cyfluthrin or cypermethrin, I forget which is the
I think what he was probably referring to, it seems like over the years, the government has stepped in and has made a sort of downed some of the more potent...
Well, the insecticides that we have out there today are, as a rule, tend to be lower-use products. You don't have to put the same volume of active ingredient out there to be effective, so you're not introducing as much chemical into the environment at one time. But any of those, the bifenthrin, cyfluthrin, you know, cypermethrin, beta-cyfluthrin, will be effective at killing those insects that he listed there.
Mm-hmm. And in the house.
Yeah, they'll be designed for use inside homes by homeowners that don't require a license to utilize them. But I would also suggest to you that you do some things outside the home, too. For instance, ants. You know, use a bait outside because the baits are very effective at controlling colonies of ants, because the foraging ants pick it up and take it back to the colony. And that, you know, can eliminate the colony. It doesn't work overnight, but it works. I would suggest that if you're going to use baits outside the house, you don't use insecticide along with the bait outside the house, because you don't want to steer the ants away from the bait. And, you know, if you put down bait and spread insecticide across it, well, that's probably going to steer them away from it. Those are good to use outside of the house, those bait-type products. You can also use an insecticide outside the house, some of the granular materials, you know, around the perimeter of the home, applied out there, in addition to using insecticide inside the house. That way you're trying to help control them outside as well as eliminate the pest problem in the house. And if you can keep them at bay outside and reduce that population, then, you know, there's not as many to invade the home.
We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. Mitchell Mote is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. We're going to check on the traffic and weather. If you're hung up somewhere in traffic, you're probably scratching your head and saying, what in the world is going on? We're about to find out. Stay with us. We'll be back and take some more calls dealing with lawns and gardens. 893-1450 is the number. We have one line open, so dial quickly and take your space here.
893-1450. When severe weather strikes, we break in.
Our meteorologist
giving you an exclusive weather eye forecast on WGNS Murfreesboro.
Ford of Murfreesboro offers the same great service you're used to.
Hi, I'm Jim Matthews with Ford of Murfreesboro. I've been in this organization for almost 20 years now, and we're excited about our new owners and what's going on. I think we'll be able to offer you increasing value, customer satisfaction, and selection. So come see us at Ford of Murfreesboro.
Online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro at the intersection of Broad and Northfield. Ford of Murfreesboro.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers, across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair. Honest, personal, and professional service for your car. Alignments, brakes, air conditioner, and emissions repair. Roberts Discount Auto Repair at 896-1407 on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
Good morning. Increasing rush hour volume has traffic beginning to slow along Interstate 24 as you're headed through Smyrna and into Davidson counties. So be very careful on this Thursday morning commute. Murfreesboro Road also now heavy with traffic throughout Smyrna and Laverne, and all points of access to the interstate very busy, especially there on Old Ford Parkway. Las Palmas Mexican Restaurant's been voted the best Mexican restaurant by the Tennessean and the Nashville Scene. Also voted cleanest with the best service. Have dinner tonight. Go online, LasPalmasMXRest.com. I'm Charlie Sonny, and that's WGNS Traffic.
Thank you, Charlie. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll have spotty showers and storms in the forecast today. Otherwise, plenty of sunshine, a high temperature, warm in the mid-90s. I'm WGNS Staff Meteorologist Andy Faluber. Right now, 79.
This is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. At my bank, you're known by your name. Come by today, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, and experience the difference at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Member FDIC.
Roy Rogers on the big screen at the Patterson Community Center Theater this Saturday. See The King of the Cowboys in Under Western Stars at 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. Plus, Roy's daughter Cheryl will be there telling how it was growing up with Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. Admission is $5. Roy Rogers movie plus Roy and Dale on the 1952 TV show This Is Your Life and Cheryl Rogers Barnett with her story. That's 1 o'clock Saturday at the Patterson Community Center, 521 Mercury Boulevard.
Now, FM 100.5 is louder, so you can listen longer. We've increased power to better serve you. This is WGNS Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. Our phone number is 893-1450. If you have a lawn or a garden question, give us a call, 893-1450. And out of curiosity, I'm just wondering, I've heard people talking about having the coyote problems more than usual right now. I'm wondering if that could be weather-related. I wonder if this lack of water, of course, we had some rain last night, but I wonder if some of the lack of water, things of that sort, makes the coyotes come out more than usual. And If we're having coyote problems, are you seeing more foxes and birds of prey? I drive down Thompson Lane, which is, pretty much developed right now, and I see these big birds of prey sitting up on the light post. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, it seems that over the past few years that hawks have been readily visible in lots of places around the county. You're apt to see them most anywhere.
And Dan Whittle, who's on the radio quite often with Truman in the afternoon, Dan goes out and takes pictures of eagles here in Rutherford County, especially over there at Long Hunters Park along Percy Priest Lake. Just out there, the eagles are. And we didn't used to see those. I don't recall people talking about that.
Not so much eagles, no.
No.
So, I don't... You're talking about is weather affecting the coyote movement? Well, I expect it could. And I think you hit it right on the head. When a water supply dries up, then they have to range elsewhere to find water. So, folks may be seeing them now that haven't seen them before, particularly in their area, because they've had to range out further, in search of a water source as a stream dries up or a pond dries up here and there. That could happen.
Had a guy call the other day who lives out around the Buchanan Road exit, that general vicinity, and he said, I'm over here on the river. And he said, you won't believe it. There is a mountain lion, a big cat. He wasn't sure what it was, a big wild cat, just sort of meandering along the Stones River there.
You hear tales like that just every once in a while that folks see, a big cat out. Apparently, there's not lots of them.
No, just a few.
A few here and there. Obviously, they're seeing something.
Yeah, I have a cousin who lives up on Norris Lake in Anderson County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she sees pretty often, and she's lived up there for a good many years, probably most of her life. She sees what she describes as panthers, a black. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if they're panthers like you see in Africa and India, places like that.
I don't know.
I don't think she gets close enough to find out.
Probably don't want to.
But can you imagine seeing a giant cat walking along the river there near the Buchanan exit,
too? I expect
it
would startle one.
It would startle me.
Yeah, me too.
And I had somebody say, well, he was probably talking about a bobcat. And I said, I don't see how you could get the two confused.
You probably tell the difference. A bobcat is just going to be so big. And, did it have a tail or not have a tail?
Bobcat's not a whole lot. I mean, that's like a big cat, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a
I mean, it's not
big,
like
I mean, it's
a
bigger
mountain
than a house
lion.
Cat. No, it's not as large as a mountain lion.
I mean, you wouldn't get those.
But then I have not seen a mountain lion either, except in
the
photographs
zoo.
In the zoo and in the movies and whatnot. But they certainly don't appear to be as large,
absolutely,
relatively speaking.
If you have some sightings of that sort, give us a call, 893-1450. Maybe you've heard some other interesting stories. We'd like to hear from you this morning, 893-1450. We're talking critters and creatures and lawns and gardens, whatever. All of this sort of goes together because oftentimes, and people who are seeing critters, and some of them come in and enjoy your garden.
They do. Yes, they do. A lot of folks have mentioned that birds have really played havoc on tomatoes, just pecking holes in the tomatoes, especially when they start to turn red. And I've personally have had squirrels pull a few off, and you see them taking them out across the yard, and half eaten and whatnot. So yeah, I mean, that's their real aggravation when they do that, because you start to pick what you think is a nice ripe tomato and you find that one side of it's been eaten out. So that's very frustrating. It makes you think less of those little critters.
That's right. You say, if you're going to eat it, I don't mind you eating one of them, but finish it off.
Well, eat the whole thing, yeah.
Don't eat a little of this
it.
And that one. And
yeah, don't waste it.
There you go. And we seem to be having, at least I'm noticing, more squirrels, too, right now.
Squirrel population seems to be very, very good. Good count on squirrels, and at least as far as I'm concerned, the rabbits aren't hurting either.
Rabbits have a reputation.
They do, and I think they're living up to it.
Now, there's one thing I have not, but I've never had this many turkeys in the neighborhood where I am.
Yes.
But I understand that some communities right here in Rutherford County have a large turkey population, and some of them have a large deer population. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to hear from some of you who have turkey populations. And I guess that'd be mostly Milton, that area. Doesn't that have a pretty good...
Oh, I mean, Rockville, Eagle Way there, certainly not turkeys down that way.
And that used to be a protected species by the TWRA, and I think they even brought in some to sort of get that
well, I think so.
Going.
I think so.
And it worked.
It did. That's a repopulation project that has been successful.
Yeah. And with deer, I don't think anybody's ever really tried to repopulate that. I guess they're doing pretty well.
They seem to be in abundant supply also.
Yeah. They're usually small, though. I don't see many really large deer.
Well, the ones you tend to see, you know, mostly when you drive the roads, you don't often see the bucks, the big males. You tend to see the does and, mm-hmm. you know, the young ones, and they tend to be smaller, I guess. But at least based on hunting reports, and, you know, you'll see those occasionally, there are some large deer taken. But, you know, compared to other places, I don't know how they would compare, you know, size-wise. They may be on the small side. I don't know.
And you can, especially going around some of the areas like Stones River National Battlefield, mm-hmm. which is doing a great renovation project right now. As you go by there, you can see them grazing right there along Thompson Lane, and that's always fascinating. Just a little interesting thing that bonus that they've offered you mm-hmm. there. And we're getting close to the time when some of these other areas are offering wild game cookouts. And there was a church over in Rockville that used to regularly offer wild game cookouts.
Yeah.
And I think Sportsman's Club here in town did. Haven't heard that in a while, but pretty soon, isn't this getting close to the time of the year when they did that?
Well, I'm thinking so. You know, either fall or the winter time. But yeah, it was not during hot weather, I don't believe.
So if some of you have some information on those wild game cookouts, give us a call. If you've had some luck with some of those, like to hear from you. 893-1450 is our number. We're talking lawns and gardens and critters this morning. And if you have an abundance of deer or turkeys, like to hear from you. And other than Jack, Jack seems to get all of the hummingbirds in the area. I wonder if some of you have seen hummingbirds. I have not had hummingbirds at our place this year.
Oh, I've heard folks mention that they are... You know, that they have hummingbirds, and mm-hmm. they're there, and, you know, they have feeders out for them, and the birds have come to use the feeders, and
right.
they're seeing those.
Okay, so, but you have to change that feed, the liquid food, on a regular basis.
Oh, it'll ferment and mm-hmm. Become undesirable to them. So, yeah, and you need to keep it fresh. Of course, if you have a lot of activity there, they can go through a fair amount mm-hmm. in a relatively short time.
And does it take a good while to attract them, or... just keep the food supply fresh.
Oh, I think that you know they search for, and when they find a source, they tend to come back to it. So, mm-hmm. yes, it may take a while for them to learn that you've got the feedback out for them. But I think once the word gets out, so to speak, they tend to come back to it. And they can be kind of territorial too. You know, fight with each other. Overfeed.
They're pretty aggressive
sometimes. Well, you know, when you're that small and that fast, I guess you can afford to be.
One thing too, I've noticed, and even in the city limits of Murfreesboro, we've seen a lot of people growing corn. Of course, corn stands out because it's so big and tall. Why are more people? Is that it used to be tomatoes were everywhere, but. And I'm sure they still are, but I'm seeing a
now. You talking about corn in gardens?
Corn in gardens,
or are you talking about like fields of corn? Because
I'm talking,
in the city limits,
you will find
fields.
Yeah,
that are in the city limits.
A field over behind the main post office, which is behind Kroger's off of Memorial, over near Sportscom, behind that grocery store.
Yeah.
Big fields mm-hmm. of corn. And
why are folks growing it? Because it's higher than it's ever been. The price
is
of
this
corn.
Because of the cars, or I mean, for ethanol, or
I'm sure that impacts it. Yes,
okay.
It does. I mean, in corn stocks and grain stocks worldwide actually have gotten lower than they've been in a long time. And the utilization of corn to make ethanol, well, that certainly accounts for some of that usage. Mm-hmm. Obviously it does. But, yeah, corn prices are higher now than I've ever seen them before. As our soybean prices, you know, they're very strong, too. So we've seen, and you know, cotton last year, the prices on cotton went up. Well, you can find more cotton growing in the county this year than you saw last year. It very well could be doubled. Of course, we don't grow acres and acres of cotton, say the way they do in West Tennessee or even down in Lincoln County and further south you go, in Mississippi and Texas.
But we used to,
places.
Didn't we?
Well, used to be a lot more fields, period.
Okay.
In the county where you know houses are now, then that those were crop fields. But corn is high or higher than it's been. In my memory, and that's why you're seeing more of it. When and it's held pretty good, you know. This is going on the third or fourth year of higher prices than what we have traditionally seen on corn. So, and you know, corn on good ground, you can it can yield a lot. You mm-hmm. know, upwards, you know, approaching 200 bushels per acre, and you know, when you're at between $5 and $6 per bushel, then when we have seen it down in the $2 range, then obviously it's much more attractive. That's you know, and when fields are open, available, they're not being used for anything, then that's a good use for them.
Oh yeah,
whether
yeah.
it's in the city limits or you know outside the city limits, the ground is the ground, and folks are taking advantage of it.
And I've noticed when they're growing it, they're putting the markers on it, and when you're in really corn areas, you'll see a lot of signs that say this field has Frontier 4730.
Oh, yeah. 419.
Yeah, whatever
Pioneer,
it might
yeah.
be. Yeah. They're marking them now. So obviously, it's getting really popular.
Well, yeah. it's you know it's salesmanship.
There. Yeah.
The seed companies, the seed reps, sure, they want you to know that, yeah, this is DeKalb or this is Dairyland or whatever, you know, this variety of corn is here. You may think, well, that's pretty good corn. I think that's what I'll grow.
I'll try that one yeah. out.
But and in the gardens, you know, sweet corn is just very, very popular anyway. So
This year, it is some of the
best. It's been a pretty good year. Pretty
very good,
year.
Good sweet corn.
Corn seems to be doing fine.
We're going to check on the weather. We'll be back and continue the conversation. And we're talking about lawns and gardens. And pretty soon, you may want to do some checking of your soil. Have your soil tested. We'll find out what's needed to do that. Just a minute.
This is Kix Brooks from Brooks & Dunn, and you're listening to WGNS Talk Radio, Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Only in America.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original issue. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASE-certified technicians get your car road-ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service, on Broad Street, across from Advance Auto.
Obamacare. Cap and trade. Body scanners at airports. Not defending the Defense of Marriage Act. Does this administration do anything constitutional? The 2010 election sweep was a start in the right direction, but much more needs to be done. Unfortunately, there are no quick political fixes. Getting back to limited government comes only in the form of educated voters who know the proper role of government. Curious to know what the proper role is? The John Birch Society has been teaching this for over 50 years. Call for a free DVD, Overview of America.
and see why people are calling this the most profound video ever. Call 800-JBS-USA1 and ask for Overview of America. Pay only $5 for shipping and handling. Call 800-JBS-USA1 now.
WeatherEye.
We'll have spotty showers and storms in the forecast today. Otherwise, plenty of sunshine, a high temperature, warm in the mid-90s. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Valuber. Right now, 79.
Over the years, I've encouraged you to save at Bell Furniture. Many of you have called me and said, you're right. They do have first quality name brand furniture at about half the price you pay at other stores. They have the comfortable Catnapper recliner. This has both the heat and massage unit. Regular $899, but just $599 at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna. If you have something to buy, sell, or trade, call me weekday mornings at 7:50 for Swap and Shop.
WGNS, Murfreesboro.
It may be empty, oil weightless, and maybe I'll find some peace tonight in the arms of the angel. Fly away from here.
Welcome back. Just a few minutes left in our broadcast this morning. Mitchell Mote is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. I don't guess there's really any bad time of the year to do a soil test, but as we move into the fall season, which is really the time to make those yards look right, don't let this one slip away.
Yeah.
Good thing to do is to know what you're working with before you go out and spend money.
It is. And, you know, probably you say there's not a bad time. I agree. There's not a bad time to do it. Sometimes it's easier than others. Mm-hmm. You know, when the ground's got some moisture in it, it's a lot easier to
today
to
would
dig.
Be better than
yeah,
a week
so,
ago.
So today might be that rain last night may be a good motivation to go out and sure. pull a soil sample. And, you know, a soil test is absolutely no better than a sample. And a good soil sample is one that is representative of the area. And to make a representative sample or to collect a representative sample, then you're going to go to numerous locations within the area. That's, for instance, if it's a lawn, you'll go to numerous locations within that lawn and take a sample from each of those locations. And we're talking about a sample that's 6 inches deep. You know, you have the top 6 inches of soil in your sample. Mm-hmm. And at each one of those locations, let's say a dozen locations, you pull that 6-inch sample and you mix all those together. Then you've created more or less a composite or a relative composite of that lawn area. And from that, you will take your sample to be tested. Man, you know, about a cup of that combined sample is all that's necessary to have a good soil test done.
Okay.
A basic soil test is very inexpensive. $7, and it can do a world of good towards improving performance in a plant. If your soil pH is not where it needs to be for that particular plant or class of plant, you know, correcting that pH can make all the difference in the world how it performs. It can keep you from over-fertilizing. You know, if you're high in phosphorus and potassium, then there's no point of adding additional phosphorus and potassium to the soil.
You're just wasting money then.
Well, you know, we're wasting resources too. Mm-hmm. It's not just money, but it's the resource, you know, that fertilizer material there. You know, once you've used it there, then it's not available to use somewhere else. So, you know, it just makes sense.
Now, how often do you need to have a new
test?
On a
lawn, you know, if you're just mowing and blowing clippings back out on the lawn, you know, every 3 to 5 years is often enough. If you're collecting clippings, if you on a regular basis collect clippings and take them away, probably a little more often, you know, more like every couple of years, because you are removing bases mm-hmm. which will influence the pH level, so you ought to keep up with that a little closer. Gardens, you know, likewise, if you have had to add lime, if your pH is out of whack, you have to add lime. You know, you test it this year, say, well, okay, my pH is low, I need to adjust it up with some lime. I add lime, well, I go ahead and test it again the following year to see where you are. And then if you're pretty much right where you need to be, you know, every year, couple of years, you ought to retest it, because with a garden, it's kind of like moving clippings from a lawn. The produce you harvest pulls out some of those bases, you know, those nutrients in the ground. And the pH tends to change a little bit faster in a highly productive garden. But, yeah, you know, every couple of years or so on a garden like that. But on a lawn, 3 to 5 years, depending on what your practices are.
Now, when you ask about removing the clippings from the lawn, it sounded almost like that is not a good thing to do.
Well, you know, the clippings are, well, they add organic matter back. Mm-hmm. There are nutrients in there. Not a great amount, but there are nutrients in there. Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, too, that's just a way to dispose of them. If you remove them, okay, what are you going to do with them? Well, you're going to compost them. Majority of folks, the answer is probably no. They're not going to compost them. Some will. Could you use them as mulch? Well, yes, you could. But for the most folks, the majority of people probably no. A lot of them wind up, you know, having to be disposed of through the city waste collection. And it's probably better use of the waste collection resources
right.
than to take that away, because you can just put it right back out on the ground and just, you know, it's part of the cycle.
And if you have it, most mowers make it fine enough that you don't even notice it.
And, you know, well, I don't want to have thatch buildup. You don't get a lot of thatch buildup from grass clippings, especially if you're mowing the way you ought to be mowing.
If you mow once every 2 or 3 months, you might.
Then you need a mowing machine, you know, like they used to make hay, and a lawnmower's probably not going to cut it.
That's right. Yeah, but I've seen some folks waiting.
Well, you know, now, I haven't mowed mine in a couple of weeks, but then it hasn't grown in a couple of weeks either. Hopefully, this will generate some growth, and I'll have to get the lawnmower back out.
It's too soon, I guess, to start putting out some of this decorative lawn grass and things. That would that fall into the same category? You put that out in the fall when you're redoing the yard.
It depends on whether it's a cool season ornamentals as well as warm season ornamental grasses. So cool season, yeah, we're moving into that time of the year that you could plant those. The warm seasons, we would plant those in, you know, after the danger of frost is passed.
So when you're really looking at seriously making that yard look good, the time to begin is fall, and when is that? What month are we shooting for?
When we say doing it in the fall,
we're talking about
our cool season grasses.
Clearing it out, starting over.
Yeah, starting over. We're talking September.
September,
early October.
Okay.
Because you want some time before
frost
comes.
Well, that's next month.
It is.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Bart, this is the fastest, this year has gone faster than any on record, I think.
I can see how people could let this one slip through.
Oh, easily enough. Now, we have a brown bag on August the 25th, I think. Let me verify that. Yep, August 25th, turf management preparation for fall lawn care.
Right.
We'll try to cover those high points in that hour. That's the brown bag out at the Lane Agri Park, 11:30 on Thursday, August 25th. We'll try to cover those high points for you right there as it relates to fall lawn care for the warm season grass folks as well as the cool season grass folks.
Circle that on your calendar, and the 25th, you say?
August 25th, yeah.
That's the right time of the year to
Well, I mean, you're ready. You know, you can start making your plans then, kind of outline your plan of attack and get ready for it so that when the time comes, you're ready to go. And tomorrow morning is Friday. That means Farmer's Market over at the Lane Agri Park.
6 to 11.
6 to 11.
And then Saturday morning from 8 until noon on the Murfreesboro Square. Lots of opportunities. Mitchell Moat visiting with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Mitchell, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Bart.
Tomorrow at this time, we're going to be talking about opportunities for some less fortunate people to have opportunities. Stay with us. That'll be tomorrow.